From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The deadline is here, and there's no agreement from the bipartisan Congressional Supercommittee given the task of reducing the federal deficit by more than $1 trillion over the next decade. The panel is widely expected to announce today that its work has ended in failure. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now. Paul, what happens next?
Well, Craig, massive automatic spending cuts across the board, including the military, are supposed to occur. But there are already signs that the lawmakers who came up with the idea of these automatic cuts are now trying to figure out how to protect programs important to them.
So what's the White House saying about all this?
Well, you know, Congress is supposed to have the power of the purse, and the president has said he'd oppose blocking these cuts. He appears to be saying, you folks in Congress created this situation, now fix it.
And what's keeping Congress from doing that, Paul?
The big divide still over whether any new revenues should be part of this deficit-cutting plan. And nearly all economists that I've spoken with say they must be if programs important to Americans are to survive. Republicans like Senator John Kyle disagree. They want no additional tax revenues. Here he is on NBC.
When our Democratic friends are unable to cut even a dollar in spending without saying it has to be accompanied by tax increases, I think that tells you all you need to know about our runaway spending.
The Democrat John Kerry told NBC the committee's not a tax-cutting committee. He says it's a deficit reduction committee. The ranking Democrat on the supercommittee, Patty Murray, says it appears to be failing for one reason.
There is one sticking divide, and that is the issue of what I call shared sacrifice, where everybody contributes.
And she says that includes the super wealthy. We'll see what happens today.
Thanks, Paul. That's NPR's Paul Brown in Washington. Security forces in Egypt are clashing with thousands of protesters in Cairo's Tahrir Square. At least 20 people have been killed over the past 3 days. Merritt Kennedy reports police are making a new push to clear the square today.
Police push protesters back from their front line on a side street leading into Tahrir Square, the symbolic center of Egypt's uprising. They're firing volleys of tear gas deep into the square. Protesters are now working to regroup. This comes after 48 hours of continuous fighting as protesters defiantly try to maintain their control of the square. They're calling for an end to military rule as the injury and casualty toll continues to rise. Parliamentary elections are scheduled for just a week away, and the military council insists that they go through as planned. But demonstrators say there can be no meaningful elections under the current military rulers. For NPR News, I'm Merritt Kennedy in Cairo.
A 27-year-old man is being held without bail in New York after being arraigned on charges of planning pipe bomb attacks against police stations, post offices, and returning military personnel, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
The suspect was a so-called lone wolf, motivated by his own resentment of the presence of American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as inspired by Al-Qaeda propaganda.
This is NPR News from Washington. Stocks on foreign exchanges have been sagging today, with analysts citing an upcoming change of governing parties in Spain and warnings from Asian officials about a sharp slowdown in growth. Japan's main stock average lost 0.3% today, closing at its lowest point since March of 2009. A new survey of business economists predicts moderate growth in the U.S. economy next year, growth at a 2.4% annual pace. But Richard DeKayser, an analyst for the National Association for Business Economics, says while that's enough to make a slight dent in the unemployment rate, no major improvement in joblessness is expected.
Even at 8.7%, which is where the forecasters think we'll be next at the end of next year, that is a very elevated level of unemployment, which most Americans will describe as recessionary.
DeKayser says most of the economists surveyed called the economic outlook somewhat or more uncertain than usual. A congressional delegation representing five states is heading to Alabama today. Pat Duggins of Alabama Public Radio reports they'll be hearing complaints about that state's tough new immigration law.
Birmingham area House member Terry Sewell is leading the group from Arizona, Texas, California, and Illinois. They'll hold a public hearing on Alabama's new immigration law, but are already sending the message that the law needs to be repealed. Sewell says she's hearing complaints from Alabama farmers whose migrant workers, she says, have fled in fear of the law.
Not just our farmers, but I think even Alabamians who are Hispanic and are legal citizens are finding themselves racially profiled.
Sewell admits Washington isn't enforcing its own immigration rules, but she adds that Congress should fix that rather than let the states handle the issue piecemeal. For NPR News, I'm Pat Duggins.
And I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.